Open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 255. Deuteronomy chapter 33, beginning with verse 24 and reading through the end of the chapter, verse 29. The text verse is the 25th verse, and we'll read responsively these six verses, verses 24 through 29. Let's pray. Let's stand together, please. I'll do some of that too, I guess. And of Asher he said, "Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And as thy days shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread down their high places." And let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Wonderful because we're privileged to be in a place such as this. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for thy word, which is becoming so precious to us. Thank you for a preacher who walks with thee and one who comes to his people with a message from thee. Now we pray that you'd bless in a very special way our time together, in a sweet way. O Holy Spirit, help us, revive us, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
My mother was on her deathbed a few months ago. Nearly any time anybody came for a season there to see her, she asked them to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I've chopped that song up many a time at mother's bedside before she went to heaven. These are days, probably, of the days of the year that are the most insecure of all the days of the year. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not. Probably haven't, but my preaching has some order to it. Perhaps you've never noticed. Most many of you have never noticed my preaching, but it has some order to it. And I preach messages at this time of the year, not all of them, but an excessive amount, unusual amount, concerning stability. Sort of a everything's all right in my Father's house kind of message. You see, young people are graduating from high school in just a few days now, just a few days. Many of them will never live at home again. Parents, consequently, will have to say goodbye. The room where the teenager lived will become a museum. Instead of like it's been for the last 4 years, like the after effects of the Korean War. But it's not easy. It's not easy for the teenager. It's not easy for mom. Not easy for dad. These are days when teenagers, I talked to some this week, they don't know what they'll be doing in just a few weeks. They don't know what direction that they're going to travel yet. So it's an insecure time. here at our church, several hundred, probably 200 or 300 of our college, Howells Anderson College, folks will be graduating. Numbers of our graduates do not have job offers yet. Some of our preacher students do not know where they'll be 2 months from now. That means that the wives of our married graduates can feel an unusual bit of insecurity at this time. But it was farther than that. They're the children who do not know where they'll be in school next year. Everything sort of is coming on us. And there are literally hundreds of people in this room that do not know the circumstances of 3 months from now. And this morning I want to speak on this subject. And I want you to listen, not because I need listeners, but because you need to hear what God has for us this morning. I want to speak on the subject, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. The Israelites were just about to cross over into the promised land. Before they cross over, God allocates to each tribe his own geographical location. He gives to the tribe of Asher a mountainous area, rugged mountainous area. But he says, I'm going to give you to climb and to travel across the rugged terrain. I'm going to bathe your feet with oil. And I'm going to give you shoes of iron to wear. What God was saying is, when you get to the rough places, it won't be real rough. Because your feet will be bathed with oil, and you'll wear shoes of iron. And he says to the tribe of Asher and to all the Israelites as they're about to move into a land they'd never seen. He said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, follow me very, very carefully for just a few moments. Is there a cloud coming up in your life? Do you see a period coming your way that you fear? Is there an unknown in your life approaching? Do you have some test, physical test, to take to see if it's malignant? Do you have a child that's not well and is taking test now? Do you look out and see that in the summertime you may be laid off from your place of employment? Are you facing, in just a few weeks, graduation, not knowing where you'll be in the fall? Is your wedding day approaching and you wonder how you're going to make it financially? Is there some kind of a cloud looming in your life? God said to the tribe of Asher and to all of his people, who have only a little narrow creek-like river between them and the promised land, but an entire nation of heathen people to drive out of the promised land, and a world of doubt and frustrations and fears filling their souls, God gives one of the great promises in the Bible. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now I want you to notice this. He did not say, as thy strength, so shall thy days be. God did not say, I'll give you the strength
before the day. He says the day comes first, and then the strength. You see, God doesn't alter the day to fit the strength. Now follow me carefully. God doesn't look down and see how much strength you have and say, I'll make his burden the size of his strength. He doesn't say that. God looks out and sees what the burden's going to be, and he says, I'll alter the strength to fit the burden. Now that's important. God does not look at you. See, the truth is, most of us do not have now the strength we'll need when a certain burden comes. So God doesn't say, I see how much strength you have, and I will pattern your burden to fit your present strength. No, God says, as your burden increases, your strength will increase. And as your load gets heavier, your strength will get heavier. God says, as thy days, so shalt thou strength thee. The day comes first, and then comes the strength. God does not, listen, God does not want us storing anything away too much for tomorrow. When God gave the Israelites the food, are you listening? When God gave the Israelites the manna from heaven, he gave them one day's manna at a time, except the day before the Sabbath. And since they could not work on the Sabbath day, he gave them 2 days provisions on the day before the Sabbath. But God does not want us storing up a bunch of things for the future. God does not even want us storing up strength for the future. God does not give you more strength than you need for your present load. Somebody says, I just don't see how I can take any more. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Look, here's what you're doing. You are looking at today's strength for tomorrow's trial. And that's one of the biggest mistakes you'll ever make. Because you won't have tomorrow the same strength you have today. God will suit tomorrow for you exactly the strength that you need. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to say, I just don't see how I can take any more. Well, you couldn't take any more if you had to have today's strength for tomorrow's burden. But as the burden increases, the strength increases. As the heartache increases, the strength increases. As the difficulty increases, the grace increases. As the temptation increases, the strength to resist the temptation increases. You don't have to face tomorrow with today's strength. If you had to face tomorrow with today's strength, you couldn't take any more. Because today, are you listening? Today, you have all the strength you need for today's burden. But you will not receive strength for tomorrow's burden until the burden comes. And with the burden, God increases your strength. Somebody said, I just couldn't bear up under what he's going through. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. Well, I don't see how he takes it. He takes it because God has given him strength for his burden. Now, you see, you couldn't bear up under what he's enduring with the strength you now have. But if God allows you someday to bear what burden he's now bearing, God will give you then the strength he's given him. Are you listening? God says, as thy days be, so shall thy days, so shall thy strength be. See, you look at somebody's load he carries and you say, I couldn't carry that load. No, the truth is, you can't carry that load. It is not your load to carry. It was not the tribe of Dan that climbed up the high rocky steeps. They needed no iron shoes. The tribe of Dan could have said, boy, I just couldn't climb that, travel that rocky road like Asher does. But if God had told you to travel that rocky road, he'd have bathed your feet in oil and given you iron shoes. So God says, as thy days, so shalt thy strength be. Somebody says. In fact, I've heard this often lately. Preachers love to preach it. Makes good preaching. Said, we just don't have real Christians like we used to have. Now, I don't believe that for a second. I think the greatest Christians who've ever lived on the face of this earth live in 1985. I believe that. Somebody said to the house, we don't have the great Christians we had like the martyrs. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Listen to me. Look at me. Everybody feast your eyes on me. Listen. God has not chosen in this age the stake and the sword. We don't need grace to be martyrs because we're not facing martyrdom. But I am as convinced as I am, as I'm standing here today, that if God decided to allow martyrdom to come in our age, I believe there'd be millions of Christians to whom God would give extra grace and extra strength, and I believe they'd stand just like the martyrs stood in centuries gone by. We would still see Christians willing to go to the lions. Now, to be quite frank with you, when I think about it, if a fellow stuck a sword at my gizzard right now, and said, are you a Christian? If you are, the sword goes through and you go to the graveyard. I think I'd say, I'm Baptist. You know, I was flying the other day on an airplane, and that's the understatement of the year. I was flying and I looked out and the plane took a big bank like that, turning like that. And I was sort of hanging up there, just looking down, you know, and I got thinking, I used to jump out of these stupid things. No, I'm sorry. This stupid fellow used to jump out of these things. And I got thinking, Brother Lynn, I said, I don't think I could do it again. I mean, boy, if they opened the door and sent everybody out, I'd say I have no leading of the Lord. But you see, when I jumped, I had the courage. I had the strength. I had the stupidity. I mean the strength and the courage to jump and the grace to jump. Now, I believe that God wanted me to be a paratrooper back in those days. Of course, the war was on. Didn't have any choice. Mr. Roosevelt wanted me to be in the army. But I had to be. It was my lot in life to jump out of airplanes. And now, on the ground, I didn't see how I could do it. But up in the airplane, when I got in the door, I still didn't see how I could do it. But there's something happened. I do not understand it. And you ex-troopers know what I mean. I do not understand it. But I do know that when the door opened, I do know that there was something came on me. Now, I don't need the grace to jump out of airplanes now. I don't need the strength. I did it one time. Now I need another kind of strength today. I need another kind of grace today. I'm saying, I think with all my heart, I believe, it sounds horrible, be burned at the stake. But I believe with all my heart that if the time came where the government said, you deny Jesus and close that book and don't read it, or you'll be burned at the stake. I believe with all my heart that 90% of the people in this room would go to the stake and die for that book. I don't think you would. But I think that 90%, I mean that. I honestly believe that we would still see Christians willing to go to the lions. I think we'd still see Christians willing to be burned at the stake, stripped of every possession. I think dungeons would still be filled with unflinching men. I think that men would still face the sword or testify. I think that men would still go to the catacombs if they had to. But I'm saying I believe the mantle of the martyrs rests on many today. And you'd say, I don't think I could do it. You couldn't if you had to use the grace you have now to face then. But then God gives you what grace you need for then. But as I couldn't die like that. I couldn't die. I've seen people sing while they die. I couldn't die like that. Yes, you could. And yes, you will. You don't need dying grace today. But I know one thing. when you need it, you'll have it available if you need it.
I probably hate to say this. I shouldn't say this. This is a little, I don't like to say anything negative about my mama. But my mama was sort of fearful.
Right?
Mama was sort of fearful. My mama, she is scared. She really was. She was scared of a lot of stuff. And the thing that she was scared of the most was death. My mama, as she was younger, we just didn't talk much about death. And if we did, it was a boogerman. I mean, it was bad. You never saw a more beautiful death in your life than my mama's death. You never saw anybody die any sweeter than my mama died. I mean, my mama would sing the song Mrs. Idson sang a while ago. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. She'd sing that song on her deathbed, and I joined hands and sang with her the few hours before she died. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home when those storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. And we'd sit there and talk about heaven, and my mama would smile and say, tell me more about heaven. And that little lady who cringed at death when she... Listen, my mama didn't need dying grace. My mama needed grace to watch a baby die. And my mama needed grace to watch another child die. And my mama needed grace to work behind a hot lunchroom steam table for 50 cents a day. And my mama needed grace to rear a boy by herself. And my mama didn't need dying grace, but through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And whatever grace you need, you will have it when you need it, but not before you need it. And I'll be quite frank with you. Dying doesn't sound real good to me this morning. I have not planned it in my schedule for today. And if I die today, I'll be the most surprised person here. It's not a part of my planning. But I'll guarantee you this. When my dying day comes, you stand around my bed and you're going to see a fellow that's got grace to die. The psalmist didn't say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He didn't say that. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He didn't say, I'm not afraid to die now. He said, I won't be afraid to die then. Look, ladies, listen. You say, oh, preacher, I don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't have to know what tomorrow holds if you're sure that whatever tomorrow holds, you'd have grace to bear it. As the cloud of unemployment comes, as the cloud of going out on your own comes, as the cloud of physical illness comes, as the cloud of heavier burdens come, you don't have to fear it because you won't have to face that cloud with the grace for today. God will suit the grace to fit the cloud. He suits the strength to fit the burden. He suits the grace to fit the need. As thy days, so shalt thy strength be. If tomorrow brings heavier trials, tomorrow will bring heavier strength. Somebody said, if that were my child with that disease, I just couldn't bear it. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. Yeah, you could. You wouldn't have to bear it with the grace you have now. You wouldn't have to face it if the doctor said, came back as he said so often in this church, the people in this church, if the doctor came back to the report and said, it's leukemia, your child has leukemia. You said, now, as I stand here right now, the thought of having that word come from a doctor absolutely repulses me, and I don't know how I could bear it, but bless God, there will never be a burden come on me, but what the strength and the grace would increase to fit the burden. And the same is true for you. You say, I lost one child. I lost one child. I couldn't go through that again. Oh, yes, you could. Because the grace you had when the first child was taken, that same grace God will give you when the second child is taken. Ask the Ron Perkies if that's not true. Ask my sister if my mama didn't know that was true. I'm simply saying, young people facing the future, you say, oh, how can I make it? I don't know how you can make it, but as thy days, so shall thy strength be.
But you say, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I see unemployment coming. I see my plant about to close. I don't think I can bear it. Oh, yes, you can. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. But you say, preacher, I've got some tests, a physical test, and the doctor says it may be malignant. I don't see how I can stand it. Oh, yes, you can. As thy days, so shall thy strength be.
Somebody said about somebody in this room, I don't know how he bears the burdens he bears. I couldn't bear them. I couldn't carry the load he carries. Yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. Oh, yes, you could. Because God never gives a load that doesn't give a stronger back to bear. And God never gives a temptation. He doesn't give you a stronger strength to resist. And God never gives you a crisis. He doesn't give you stronger arms and legs and a constitution to stand. As thy days, if the days are bad, the grace is bigger. The sunshiny days, the grace is less. But the grace not only is an amount, but it's exactly what is suited to your particular problem. When the grave opens, God opens the fresh springs of comfort. When the clouds gather, God allows the falling of the fresh dew of grace. The God that inhabits the present also inhabits the future. Somebody said, I'd kill myself if I was told I had cancer. No, you wouldn't. If you had to face cancer with today's grace, strength, you would. I do not have the grace right now to hear the doctor say, you have cancer. But I'll bind you one thing, if the doctor ever says that, he'll never say it to me because I ain't going for a checkup. And I'll die suddenly. We men don't want to go to doctors. Listen, if this world were only inhabited by men, well, everybody would want to die. What to be to live for? But anyway, I mean, only inhabited by men, if a doctor would go out of business. Especially the obstetricians. We don't want to go to a doctor. We'd rather die in our sleep. I'll guarantee you this. I've seen many a cloud on its way in my life, and you've seen them in yours. But I'd like to stand up here today and testify to the praise of my wonderful God. Every time the cloud comes up, God gives you a storm cellar to hide in. And every time the burden gets so heavy, you say, I couldn't bear it. God gives you more strength to bear it. And every time the clouds get so low, God lets His dew of grace fall upon your pathway. And God says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Let me make a few observations. First is this. Fear is caused by expecting to face tomorrow's problems with today's grace. That's all fear is. That's all fear is. Fear is expecting to face tomorrow's problems with today's grace. Now you say, preacher, well, I still fear. Okay, then you stop and look back in your future and see if God hasn't given you grace for every trial you've had. Look back and see if every time you had a heavier burden, God didn't give you extra strength. Look back and see. Well, can't the God who did it yesterday do it again tomorrow? But you say, preacher, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Yesterday, you didn't know what today holds either. You don't have to be afraid. And you won't be afraid if you'll just believe this. That you will not have to face tomorrow with today's strength. First place, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Good night. You may wake up some morning as all of us have, and nothing is wrong and everything's all right. And it's noontime at sunrise, and all the sun is shining, and the clouds are driven away, and it just may be that very day something might hit you that'll pull the rug out from under you, and you'll find yourself facing a dark, dark day with a burden too heavy to bear. But I guarantee you, when that day comes, as soon as that burden hits you, God will say, Holy Spirit, give him more strength, and give him more grace. Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. And I do not know what tomorrow holds. It may hold a heavier burden than today, but if it holds a heavier burden, I'll guarantee you, it holds a stronger God. It holds more grace and more strength as the burden increases. Second observation, worry is caused by expecting to face tomorrow's problems with today's grace. John Wesley said, I would no more worry or fret than I would curse or swear. We say, I can't help but worry. You know why you're worrying? Because you're expecting to face the problems tomorrow with the strength you have today. Why don't you just believe the book? God says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. You don't have to worry. Why should we worry and stew and fret? Oh, but you say, preacher, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Nor do I know what tomorrow holds, but I do know that whatever tomorrow holds, the grace and strength will be exactly equal to the burden and problem. So why should you worry? You say, don't you ever worry? Sure I worry. I'm preaching to me as well as I'm preaching to you this morning. The reason I can preach to you and know what you need, I know what I need. I happen to be human too. Sometimes. I dip down into humanity occasionally. But I have apprehensions and I have fears and I have worries, but all of them are called when I forget that God will give me whatever grace I need tomorrow for tomorrow's burden. He does not give me grace today for tomorrow's burden. He gives me grace today for today's burden. Tomorrow He suits the grace. How much of it and what kind it is, He suits to whatever needs I have tomorrow. Observation. Do not think of the future except that whatever comes will have with it sufficient grace. You say, Brother House, I just tell you, I'm scared to death to die. Don't think about it. I didn't get up this morning and say, today I may die. I didn't think about it. Now, I may die today. I'll tell you what. I heard J. Harold Smith say one time, he said he didn't have dying grace. But he said he was in a liquor battle in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and he was fighting the liquor traffic in an election, a crusade to dry up the county. And he said a bunch of the alcoholic folks got together and captured him and took him to a pool hall and took him up on the pool table and said, now preach to us, and then we're going to kill you. Old J. Harold Smith said all of a sudden he got strength he didn't have before. He said, okay. He had cowboy boots on. He dug those heels in that pool table. He ripped that covering. He kicked off the side. And he preached up a storm. He said, if I've got to go, I'm taking one of your pool tables with me. You say, boy, I wish I had the grace like that. He didn't have it sitting in church. He got it when he got on the pool table. Moral of that story is play more pool, folks. I've told you the story about John Rice. Fellow stuck a gun in his stomach and said, I'm going to kill you. Doctor, I said, you can't scare me with heaven. And yet I've seen Dr. John Rice shed tears when he was in his early 80s, afraid he would die before he got some work finished. He didn't want to die at that time. But when the gun was stuck in his stomach, God gave him the grace that he needed. Dr. Bob Gray was flying in an airplane. And Dr. Gray, I don't know if he still is not, but used to for years. I mean, until a few years ago, he was horrified at flying. Now, I told him, Bob, don't put your weight all the way down on those airplanes. When you get on, don't put your weight all the way down. But he's scared. And he said one time they hit some kind of a air pocket and fell 1,000 feet. But he said, I wasn't scared. He said, because I knew I wasn't going to die. He said, I'd always heard when time comes to die, God gave you dying grace, and I did sure didn't have it. Now, in that little story, which is a true story,
there's the teaching of my message this morning, out of this scripture. He didn't die. He did not need dying grace. He needed falling grace. He needed to fall from grace. He needed falling grace, not dying grace. He didn't have to die that day. He had to fall 1,000 feet. He needed that kind of grace. And as the Israelites were journeying, just about to enter into the promised land, God said, you don't know what your future holds, but I do. But I guarantee you, I've got every problem, everything you got to face, I got it all stored up for you in your little bin here under your name, and I'm going to give it to you when you need it. But as I give you the burden I've got stored up for you, right beside that in the next bin, I got under G, I got grace. And under S, I got strength. And as I drop you your load, I'll also drop you added strength to bear that load. As I drop you your burdens and problems, I'll give you added grace to accept the burdens and problems. But I don't drop the grace first. I drop the problem first. I don't drop the grace or strength first. I drop the burden first. And as you get the burden, as the burden is dropping, then I'll drop the strength, and strength gets there faster than burdens do. I'll drop the strength after I drop the burden, and about the time the burden hits you, the strength hits you, and you can take it. You can take whatever you have to take. You don't have to take it with today's strength and grace. You take it with the strength and grace God gives you, and He gives you the burden you bear. Observation. Remember the past. Remember the past. How that in the past, things you feared, you took. Burdens you feared to bear and problems you feared to have, you knew they were coming and you knew they're on their way. But look at the past. Remember, God could say to Israel, don't you recall when you came toward that Red Sea, how I parted those waters for you? Don't you recall when you had no food to eat, I dropped the manna out of heaven to you? Don't you recall when you had no water to drink, I gave you water from the smitten and spoken rock in Horeb? Don't you remember that? Don't you recall when you didn't find your way, couldn't find your way, I gave you a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to lead you? Don't you remember that? Well, okay, if I've taken you through the wilderness, can I take care of you in a land that flows with milk and honey? Listen to me, college graduates, and I just say one sentence a paragraph to you now. If God can see you through 4 years of toughing it, if God can see you through 4 years of going to school by day and working by night, if God can see you, little wives, through 4 years of being almost a widow because your husband has to go to school by day to train for the future and work by night to take care of the present, and don't you think if God can take care of you for those 4 years, God can take care of you next year when you graduate? Observation. You do not need the grace of another. You don't need somebody else's grace. You don't need the grace of the woman and man who sat here this morning with a child with leukemia. You don't need that. They need it. God gave it to them. You don't need it. You don't need the grace of a mother and daddy who just left a little beautiful hunk of flesh neath the sod, and only have a bronze shoe on the mantle beside a picture as a memory. You don't need that. My mama asked me one day to make her a promise. She said, son, promise me two things. I know I'm not going to live long. Promise me, son, that first you'll preach my funeral. I said, Mama, I can't do that. I can't do it. You know why I said I can't do it? Because I was expecting to preach Mama's funeral and the grace I had while I was beside her bed. She said, son, promise me. And I said, Mama, I'll try. Second thing she said, son, promise me that when I die, you will not miss one preaching engagement. But because of my death, when I called the clinic at the college as I always called Mama and told her I loved her before I left the airport. 18 years I did that every Monday morning. I called the clinic, and it was on a Thursday afternoon. I was preaching at a state convention for Christian educators in South Carolina, Charleston. I called the clinic, and the little nurse there, and those nurses took care of Mama so sweetly. She said, "Preacher, your Mama's blood pressure is almost to nothing now." And she said, won't be here very long. She said, "If you see her," I think she put it like this, "if you see her alive, you'll have to come now." But I couldn't come now because I made a promise. And I did not know how I could fulfill that promise. When I got on the airplane, I said, "Dear God, if Mama's dead before tonight, I can't preach tonight." But see, what I was doing is what you're doing. I was thinking that I needed grace, the grace I needed, was going to bear the burden that night with the grace I had no hair field. When the message came, 15 minutes before I had to be picked up to go preach, 15 minutes after my sister called me and said, "Mama's gone to heaven," the rider came, and I said, "I don't know how I can do it. I don't know how I can do it." You see, I thought I had to have the grace then, but God didn't have to have the grace until I faced the people. I got in the car, a little Volkswagen car, and first question the fellow said, "How's your Mama doing?" And I lied. I didn't know I was lying. But I said, "She's not doing very well." Well, that's 15 minutes after she died. Truth is, she was doing better than she'd ever done in her life. But I stood that night. I said, "God, give me grace just to walk up to the pulpit. That's all I asked for." Never told the people. Never told her Mama was gone. I just said, "God, give me strength to walk to the pulpit. That's all I asked for." I got the pulpit and I said, "God, give me strength to start." And that night I preached and never told them. Next morning I preached the second time until I was finished preaching there and about to leave. Never told them Mama's gone. But God gave me grace I needed then. I flew back. My sister's going to meet me at the airport and drive me quickly out to see Mama's body at the Oakland Funeral Home. Because I had to preach the next night in Richmond, Virginia, to a state convention there in Richmond, Virginia. And they picked me up at the airport, and my sister and I were going to drive. I was going to see Mama's body. And we got a traffic jam and couldn't get to Boken before. I had to go back and catch the plane. Never got there. Had to go back and catch the plane. Preached that night. Preached 8 times. What are you saying? I'm saying that I didn't need the grace to preach the funeral till the time came for the funeral. 5 minutes before I preached Mama's funeral, I said, "I don't think I can do it." And 5 minutes after I got through, I said, "I don't know how I did it. But I do know too, as thy days, so shall thy strength be." God wants you to lean on Him moment by moment. He doesn't want to give you strength for tomorrow. He wants you to have strength for today and have faith for tomorrow. You won't need the grace today for the burden tomorrow, or the strength today for the burden or load tomorrow. You just need it today. But I'll guarantee you, whatever tomorrow holds, with tomorrow's burden comes tomorrow's strength and tomorrow's grace. I can say it by testimony. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far. And grace, thank God, will lead me home. Our Heavenly Father,